awake. How we doing? Yep. Sound okay? You sound semi-awake. I'm really glad. As Sean just said, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get to serve with Shoreline grades 9 through 12, so I can't wait for you guys to be in high school. It's awesome. My small group was in Wake for 3 years, and now they are freshmen in high school. Most of them go to J.J. Pierce and Richardson High School. They used to go to North Junior High and Park Hill. So I know there's some people in here. I've met a few of you. I met Dylan before the service. I met Griffin before the service. I met Emma. And then I also met Julia over there. And it's so fun to get to meet you guys and hear different stories and hear of your different family experiences. And it's a privilege to get to continue and finish up this series called Really. So if you have your Bible, grab it. If you have a journal or however you take notes, let's get ready to learn from God's Word. So 2 weeks ago, Austin Mankin taught us or addressed the question, is Jesus really the only way? And he talked about and explained the fact that Jesus is the only way to a right relationship with God. And to set up where we're going this morning, I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you grow up or are in a home where your family always gets a real Christmas tree for Christmas? Like when you, just a few, there you go, the right few people, yeah, with the real Christmas tree. How many of you guys are in a home where you always get a fake tree, a fake Christmas tree? The majority of you, my heart is crushed. Can we turn me up just a little bit? My heart is crushed because growing up for me, I grew up in the Caribbean and I always had a real Christmas tree. And in the last couple years since I've been married, my wife has insisted on a fake tree for I don't know what reason, because a real tree is so much better. But anyways, the reason I start there is because I knew that there'd be a ton of you that have a real tree and a ton of you that maybe have a fake Christmas tree. And so I'm going to play a game really quick with you guys called Is This Tree Real or Fake? So I'm going to show you a picture of a Christmas tree in a friend or a family's home, and I want you to shout out if you think it's a real tree or if you think it's a fake tree. Make sense? Yeah. All right, got it. All right, let's throw the first picture up on the screen. Is that a real tree or is that a fake tree? There's some real, there's some fake. Yes, it is your tree at your house. She's like, wait a second, that tree looks familiar. That is, in fact, a fake tree. There you go. I knew some of you thought it was real, some of you thought it was fake. All right, let's go to the next one. Real or fake? Fake. There's some fake in there. Okay, that one is actually real. Okay, let's go to the next one. Let's see this one. How about this? Real or fake? That one's probably like the most obvious. It is real. Someone's over there like, are you serious? All right, last one. Real or fake? Mixed reviews. All right, awesome. That is my in-laws' tree, and that is a fake tree. So I had two real and two fake trees on screen. We can throw that off of there. And the reason I start with that exercise or that analogy is because sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference between a real Christmas tree or a fake Christmas tree. And how do you decide, how do you determine if a tree is real or fake? Or the best way is for you to get up close, right? To inspect it, to smell if it smells of, you know, pine or whatever Christmas trees smell like, or to see if the leaves are plastic, to see if it's perfectly symmetrical like a fake tree, to investigate it. The best way to tell the difference between a real tree and a fake tree is to get up close, is to investigate it, is to do your research. And this morning, we are addressing the question, is Jesus really the Son of God? Or is he a fake? And the best way to investigate this, to come to a conclusion on this, is to come up close, is to investigate, is to ask questions. to figure out, to come to a conclusion if Jesus is really the Son of God. And I want to tell you, 6th through 8th grader, that it is worth your time to inspect this belief. It is worth your time to inspect and to investigate if Jesus is really the Son of God. It is worth your time. Because if Jesus isn't the Son of God, the fact that you're at church right now is a complete waste of your time. If Jesus isn't the Son of God, all the missionaries that have gone to foreign countries, smuggled Bibles in, preached the gospel, given their very lives, been thrown in prison, all of that is for nothing if Jesus isn't the Son of God. In fact, I'm going to give you a pass right now. If Jesus isn't the Son of God, this should be your last day of coming to Wake. There's no point in coming if Jesus isn't the Son of God. But if Jesus is the Son of God, man, this is one of the best places that you can be in this moment right now. So is he or isn't he? And that's what we're going to spend our time this morning investigating. We're going to investigate and seek an answer to the question, is Jesus really the Son of God? Are you with me? You ready? You ready to discover this together? I think it is so important for you to land on a conclusion with this question today, now, when you're in Wake or in grades 6 through 8. It's not just what your parents think or what your friends think or what the culture here in Dallas wants you to think. It's what do you believe? Is Jesus really the Son of God? All right, so our first point that we're going to look at as we address this, as we get up close and investigate it, the first thing that we're going to see in answer to this question, is Jesus really the Son of God, is this, is that God the Father concluded that Jesus is his son. God the Father came to the conclusion or proclaimed that Jesus is his son. Okay? And we see that clearly in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And remember, we're looking at this idea. God concluded that Jesus was his son. It says this in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. After his baptism, so after Jesus was baptized, after he was dunked under the water and brought up to symbolize and to act in a way that he wants you and I to act as we celebrate Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. Jesus did it first. And if you're a follower of Jesus, that should be something that you should prayerfully consider doing. Anyways, so after his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water and the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said this, "This is my dearly loved," who? "Son, who brings me great joy." Who was that voice? There you go. God the Father, as he looked down on his son Jesus, getting ready to start his ministry on this earth, as he got baptized, everyone heard this audible voice loudly proclaiming, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." And so before we go anywhere else, that is an important thing to note. In this question, is Jesus really the Son of God? God says that he's the Son of God, right? So that's the first point I want us to notice. Here's the second thing I want us to notice as we investigate if Jesus is really the Son of God. So not only did God claim that Jesus is his son, but Jesus himself claimed to be the Son of God, and he proved it. He confirmed himself as the Son of God. So you're tracking with me? God the Father says Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus himself says, "I am the Son of God, and let me prove it to you." Does that make sense? Jesus claimed and confirmed himself as the Son of God. I'm going to show you a story where he does both of these things, where he claims to be the Son of God and where he proves himself to be the Son of God. So we're going to read through a story in the book of John in the New Testament, the fourth book in the New Testament. It's a gospel. It's where this disciple of Jesus, John, is recording and telling the story of Jesus. I'm going to read you a story of Jesus on this earth in his mission to save the world. He was teaching and preaching the gospel. He was healing people. And we come to this story in John chapter 5. So turn there with me. If you have your Bible, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 and verses 16 through 18. And remember what we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus, Jesus's claim to be the Son of God, and we're looking for Jesus's confirmation, like him proving that he is the Son of God. Make sense? Let's jump in. John 5, starting in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people. I want you to go there with me. It's this royal, amazing-looking building. And there are tons of people who have broken legs, who have diseases, who have lifelong diseases, to be honest. It says sick people who are blind, who are lame, who are paralyzed, who lay on these porches. And verse 5 says, one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. I want you to go there with me. Think about this guy. He was paralyzed. He had no strength in his legs. He couldn't walk. And he was here looking for hope. Imagine all of the remedies he tried. Imagine maybe if it was around then the physical therapy that he went to. Imagine all of the gods that he prayed to for healing. Imagine maybe even all the essential oils that he tried. Maybe this is going to work, like your mom thinks that they all work incredibly and heals every disease, right? Imagine all of the things that he tried. And for 38 years, he was sick and he was without hope. That's crazy. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" Think of this man in that moment. Like when Jesus asked him this question, what do you think he's saying? Duh. Of course I want to get well. I've been sick for 38 years. Are you kidding me? What kind of question is this? And the man says in verse 7, "I can't, sir, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up." They believe that when the waters started to bubble, that there was some good spirit there maybe that was helping them be healed. Who knows what of that was actually true, but that was the belief. And so he says, every time the waters begin to bubble up and I'm like trying to crawl to get in there because I'm paralyzed, maybe I don't have enough strength, someone else goes in before me. And so Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat and walk." And then here's what it says next. Instantly, not months later, not weeks later, not after he finally like got the right amount of physical therapy, instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and he began to walk. And so in this moment, we see this amazing human being, God, the Son of God, coming. And seeing this man in his brokenness and needing of help, and he heals him with just a word. Who has the power to completely heal an incurable disease? A man who was sick with no resolution for 38 years. Who has the power to heal an incurable disease with only a word? Who? Not you, not me. Not any of us. Only God can. Only God can heal in the way this man was healed, with just a word. Isn't that amazing? Think about this man who was in pain and who was hopeless for 38 years. And along came this God man, Jesus, and said, "Get up And with just a word, this man was healed. Let's keep going in the story. So after this amazing miracle happened, you'd think everyone around would be celebrating like, let's go. He's healed. He was so sick and no one was helping him out for 38 years. And now he's finally healed. He's walking. He's praising God. His life is completely different and much better. Let's go. That's really exciting. That's what you would think. That's how you would imagine they would respond. But instead, we see verse 16. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. So instead of celebrating this amazing miracle, they were paying attention to, hey, you aren't doing things the way we think you should do it. Who are you to break our rules? Who are you to break the way, the rules of our religion? And Jesus replied, but my Father is always working, and so am I. And so the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. So why were they trying to kill Jesus? What did he just say that caused them to be like, we got to kill this dude? He just said, my Father. So who is he referencing when he says my Father? There you go. You're here with me. He says, my Father's always working and so am I. And so all these religious leaders are like, are you kidding me? He just called God his Father. He just told this man to get up and walk. And now he's claiming to be God. We have to get rid of him. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. And so what we see from this story is that Jesus claimed he was God with his words. You know, when he said, my Father is always working. And Jesus confirmed that he was the Son of God with his work. Does that make sense? He proved to them that he was the Son of God by healing an incurable disease with just a word, like we just read in John 5. And then he confirmed it. He proved it with this work. But he also said, hey, God is my Father. And he's always at work. And so am I. I am the Son of God. So remember what we saw earlier? God claimed and concluded that Jesus was his Son. And here we see Jesus concluding, confirming, and claiming to be God's Son. And also proving it with his work. And this wasn't the only time that Jesus proved that he was the Son of God. If you read through the New Testament, the stories, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you should, you'll see many an occasion where Jesus heals other sick people, where he gave sight to the blind, where he turned water into wine, and where he raised people from the dead. Over and over, Jesus would confirm that he was the Son of God because of his miraculous power to break into the darkness that you and I experience and to transform it with his power. And he would say it over and over, I am the Son of God. Another way to illustrate this is with this. How many of you guys know some twins? How many of you guys maybe have twins in your family? There you go. There you go. There you go. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you know identical twins? Like they're, you know, they look exactly, almost exactly the same. There you go. There you go. All right, put your hands down. Here's a picture of a couple friends of mine that are twins. You may have heard of them before, or you may have seen them before. That's true. So that's Kobe and Corey Cotton, who are in. There you go. There you go. So they're friends of mine. They're small group leaders here. And when I first met them, you know, years and years ago, guess what? I could not tell the difference between them at all. They looked so similar. Think of the twins that you know maybe in your life. And it's so hard to tell which one, one from the other. And sometimes what do twins do? They play a trick on you where one pretends to be the other, and sometimes it's really easy for you to be deceived. But over the course of time, I've come to the place where I'm like, they look nothing alike. They are so different. And I've gotten to distinguish between them because of the way they talk, the sound of their voices, and their work, right? In Dude Perfect, everyone knows that if there's one person who's always going to lose a challenge, it's there you go. Exactly. And so through his work, like if you've never even seen a Dude Perfect video and they're like, oh, this person came last, you're like, oh, I know who it is, because it's always him. His works confirm his identity in some senses, right? And so as you hear and spend time with and hear the different way they speak or the different sounds of their voices or the way they live their lives, like one of them has twin babies and has another on the way. The other has an incredible dog and is loving his life. But they're both very different. And you can tell it through their life, through their words, and through their work. And in the same way, you can tell the real Jesus from the fakes. The real Jesus raises people from the dead. The real Jesus heals the sick, give sight to the blind. The real Jesus is the Savior of the world that came to this earth for you and me. So Jesus claimed and he confirmed himself as the Son of God. And lastly, so remember, we've looked at God the Father concluded that Jesus is his Son. Jesus himself claimed to be God's Son, and he confirmed it with his work, right? And the last thing that we're going to see is that other people concluded that Jesus is the Son of God. Others concluded that Jesus is the Son of God. And to set up this illustration, or to set up this point, I'm going to share with you an illustration. My wife, her name is Hannah. We can throw a picture up of her on the screen. There she is. She's amazing. But here's one thing that she loves to do. This is us. Where was this? We were going to dinner for her birthday back in September at this incredible Asian Thai establishment called Shinsei. And you don't just go there every day because of the price. But we went for our birthday. For her birthday. But here's the thing that my wife does before we go to any restaurant. If I'm like, hey, you want to go here? The first thing that she does is she pulls out her phone and she pulls up this, there you go, Yelp. I know some of you have heard of it and some of you are like, what's Yelp? Yelp is this app where people go and review a restaurant. Like they go to a restaurant and they give it a review, you know, 1 star to 5 stars. And they sometimes explain why this restaurant is amazing or why this restaurant is terrible. And my wife trusts the review of others to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to that restaurant. And I mess with her all the time because she's like, if it's not above a 3.5, we're not going. Like she's that serious. Like I have to check it before I even suggest it, hoping that it's over 3.5 stars, because if it isn't, it's just not going to happen. And so the reason I share with you that analogy is that for her, the perspective of others is really helpful in concluding if this restaurant is going to be good or not, right? So as other people give good advice or good reviews, it confirms for her what she believes is true. So let's look at the people or the others that have concluded or did conclude that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's jump in. The first group of people that concluded that Jesus is the Son of God were the friends of Jesus. So his disciples, people who followed him, people who loved him, people who trusted him. Make sense? So Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17, it says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? What's the word on the street? What are people saying about me? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. So they're telling Jesus what other people, how other people are reviewing him. And then he gets a little bit more personal in verse 15. Then he asked them. And I hope that you're even thinking about it for yourself. than he asked you in 2019 in this room right now. But who do you say that I am? Man, I hope that you're seeing who he is. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." So what did his friend Peter come to a conclusion about his identity? What did he say? He said that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And so the friend of Jesus concluded that Jesus was God's son. That makes sense, right? And of course, friends are going to say, "Oh yeah, of course, Jesus, you're God's son." That's what a good friend does, right? Says the right thing. Okay, let me show you some people that aren't so friendly to Jesus, but still came to the same conclusion. Enemies of Jesus. Not only did Jesus' friends come to this conclusion and say, yes, he's the Son of God, but his enemies, people who didn't like him, people who were against him. In fact, as we'll see, people who were taking part in his crucifixion, they themselves concluded that Jesus was the Son of God. So in Matthew 27, we're in the middle of the crucifixion of Jesus, where he is hanging on the cross, where amazing things have happened. There's an earthquake. This huge curtain in the Jewish temple has been ripped in two. There's thundering and lightning. There's all of these great, amazing things that are happening at the death of Jesus. And here's what one of Jesus' killers has to say in Matthew 27, verse 54. This isn't a friend. This is an enemy of Jesus. The Roman officer and other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. And they said, what'd they say? "Truly, this man was who? The Son of God." Of God. These enemies of Jesus came to the conclusion at his crucifixion, at his death. Hey, this isn't just some regular guy. This isn't just a good prophet. This is truly the Son of God. So his friends concluded it, and his enemies concluded it. And I'm going to take it a little further. Not only did his friends conclude and his enemies conclude, but crazy enough, the devil and his demons, even they, like, this is even worse than enemies. This is the enemies of all the enemies, and you and me. Even they concluded that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you see where I'm going with this? All of these different groups of people, are coming to the same conclusion. They're arriving at the same Yelp review. It's not that someone's given a 1-star and someone's given a 5-star. Everyone is giving the same review. Even the demons. These spirits that are against you and are against me. Look at what it says in Mark 3, verse 11. So this is while Jesus is walking through the earth and he's performing these miracles, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, raising people from the dead, casting out these spirits that were tormenting people. And whenever those possessed, Mark 3:11 says, by evil spirits caught sight of him, of who? Jesus. The spirit would throw them, the person that they were influencing, to the ground in front of him, and they would shriek. They would scream. What would these demons scream? That Jesus is who? The Son of God. The friends of Jesus concluded this. The enemies of Jesus concluded that he was the Son of God. And the enemies of the enemies also concluded that Jesus is the Son of God. And so all throughout Scripture, we see all these different groups of people come into the same conclusion. You see, when other people's affirmations or other people's conclusions help us make an informed decision, right? Just like with the Yelp review analogy. If someone tells you Star Wars, The Rise of the Skywalker is lame and you shouldn't go see it, guess what you're probably inclined to think? maybe it's not that good. You know, I'll skip it. I'll watch it when it comes out on, you know, Apple TV or whatever it is. Or if someone tells you, oh, this video game is legit, you have to play it or you have to get it. Guess what you go home and beg your mom and dad to do? Can I get this game? I want to play it. All my friends love it. Or, you know, I don't know, makeup, some makeup product, beauty counter. I heard my wife say that one time, so that's probably a good product. You hear some other people talk about this and you're like, oh, I want to try it, right? When other people affirm something, when other people come to a conclusion, it helps you also arrive at a conclusion. And so as we're investigating this claim, if Jesus is really the Son of God, we see that God made this conclusion. Jesus claimed it for himself and confirmed it through the way he lived, through the work that he did, and through his words. And then his friends, his enemies, and the enemies of his enemies also concluded that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know what else? Here's the last thing I'm going to share, and then we'll be out of here. You know what else? Jesus was crucified and resurrected because he is the Son of God. I want you to track with me in this one. So all of these people came to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God. And guess what happened? He was killed because of that claim that was verified through his work and that was verified through all of these different groups coming to the same conclusion. And so I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, if you're just here at Wake because your parents are making you, or if you're here because your friends are here, but I want you to understand and hopefully today begin to arrive at a conclusion that I'm not just doing this or I'm not just being a part of this because this is what other people want me to do. I want you to walk out of here confident. I want you to walk out of here with this firm belief, because you've investigated, because you've come up close to the Christmas tree and you've realized that it's real or it's fake, that you've come up close to Jesus and seen that God has claimed and concluded he's the Son of God. Jesus himself has claimed it and proved it, and others have also backed up this claim. And finally, he was crucified and he was resurrected because of this claim. Okay, I'm going to show you that in Matthew 26, verses 62 to 68. And again, we're in the story where Jesus is about to be crucified. Okay. Then the high priest stood up, Matthew 26, 62 to 68. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself? But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus replied, what does he say? You have said it. In other words, yes, I am. And he says, and in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in a place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror. And he was like, blasphemy! Why do we need any other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. He's claiming that he is the Son of God. He is claiming that he is our Savior and that he's our Redeemer. Who is this man to make this claim? Verse 66, what is your verdict? And all the crowd, or whoever was listening to this trial, they all were like, guilty! They shouted, he deserves to die. Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him. Do you understand this? Come there with me. Jesus just claimed to be the Son of God, and the religious leaders are like, we don't need any more evidence. Let's kill him. And everyone else is like, let's go. This is what we need to do. And they begin to spit in his face. Have you ever been, has someone ever spit in your face? You know how disrespectful that is? And they begin to slap him. And this was just the beginning of his pain and his the torture that he would endure for you and me. And so this Christmas season, throw up this picture of this this amazing Christmas scene. It's a fake tree. In this Christmas season, every time you see your tree and maybe you have a star at the top of the tree, here's what you should remember, that there is a star that led the wise men to where Jesus was. And the tree should be a reminder to you that the little baby who was helpless, who needed his mom and dad to survive, was the Savior of the world, the Son of God, who had become man so that he could live a perfect life, so that he could die a perfect death, so that you and I could experience life in him as he resurrected from the grave. Jesus was hung on a tree. Jesus was murdered. He was killed because he claimed and confirmed himself to be the Son of God. And so as you celebrate Christmas and you look at the tree in your house or the tree at wherever you might be, that tree is a reminder that the little baby that we sing about would later be hung on a tree, killed because of his claim to be the Son of God. But the amazing news is that Jesus did not stay dead. Jesus did not stay dead. Christmas isn't fun. Christmas isn't amazing if the story is this baby was born in a manger and he grew up and he claimed to be the Son of God and these people were mad at him and he killed him and they killed him and he stayed dead. That's a terrible story. You should quit celebrating Christmas if that's what happened. But that is not what happened. On the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead, victorious over your sin, every sin you've ever committed and ever will commit, and offers to you a right relationship with God. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. And so you can either choose to reject this truth, or you can choose to receive it. Jesus is the Son of God. You can choose to reject it. There's only two choices that you have right now as you're walking up, to reject it. And let me say with that, it's okay to doubt and be like, I'm not sure. But it's not okay to just stay in your doubt and not do the work of investigation, right? Doubt is okay, but sitting in your confusion and not doing anything about it is rejection. Does that make sense? You can have questions, but you should be seeking answers from your small group leaders, from your parents, if they're followers of Jesus, from the WAKE team here. You know, doubt is okay, but it's not okay to just say, hey, I doubt that Jesus is really the Son of God, and that's it, and never do any work. But I pray that every single one of you would receive this truth, would believe this truth. I know some of you do already. And I pray that the rest of you are walking out of this room with more confidence in your faith, more excited to celebrate Christmas. That it's not just a tree with a star and presents underneath it, but that it's a reminder that one day this baby that was born would die on a tree for you and me. Jesus is the Son of God. God claimed it. Jesus claimed it and confirmed it. His enemies, his friends, and the enemies of enemies also concluded it. And Jesus was killed for this claim. But the great news is, the amazing news that makes Christmas so awesome, is that Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus is the Son of God. You can reject it or you can receive it. It's your choice. Let me pray that you would receive it. God, thank you so much for these students. Thank you for this reminder. Thank you for this opportunity to investigate your claim that you are the Son of God. We love you. And I pray that you would help these students wherever they are in their spiritual journey, in their faith journey. I pray that this morning was helpful to them as they investigate the claims of Jesus. I pray that if there's someone in this room who has never placed their faith and trust in you, that today would be the day, that your spirit would draw them to yourself. And I pray for those who already believe that you are the Son of God, that they would be encouraged and empowered to live for you and to tell their friends and family about you this Christmas season. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all have a great week of worship. Hagwah, we'll see ya.